Mesechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Vav, four lines on the bottom of Daf Samach Hei Beis, we saw a brisa which stated that if Reuven sells a property to Shimon for $100,000 and makes it t'nai that when I have enough money, I can force you to sell back this house to me at the same price, that would be also as Shimon got back his full $100,000, and he also had the hanah of using the house for that period of time, which is schar for Ham Tanis Ba'isav. However, the buyer said to the seller that if you want to buy back this house, I will sell the property back to you, then it is mutar. And Rambam explained that the Seifa is specifically talking about a case, the Amalei Midaitei, that Shimon said that if you want to buy the house back, I will think about agreeing to do so, but you can't be taveya me to a dinteria. And since Reuven can't force Shimon to actually sell the property back to him, so we look at each sale as a separate transaction, and there is no shaila ribis, and it is mutar. And keep in mind that the Gemara Daf Samach Vav Minalef will slightly change this explanation of Rava. And also, before you begin, let's point out that if Reuven buys a property from Shimon, so either he can get a deed with a guarantee called Achrayis, or he can agree to receive a deed, Shalei Bachrayis, and without any guarantee from the seller and from Shimon. And for example, if Shimon has a pre-existing lien on his property from a prior debt, then if Levi now comes and takes the property away from Reuven, based on a prior loan that Levi gave to Shimon, so if Reuven bought the Sadeh Bachrayis and there was a guarantee, so Shimon would now have to make Reuven whole, and if Reuven didn't buy his Sadeh Bachrayis and Shimon didn't guarantee the sale, then Reuven would lose out and wouldn't be able to force Shimon to pay him back. And we know that there was a machlekes that if they didn't write a guarantee into the deed, if Achrayis is Toyer Sefer or if Achrayis is Lav Toyer Sefer, and we passing like Shmuel that Achrayis is Toyer Sefer, and our Gemara begins, that Shimon sold a piece of land to Reuven and he sold it without a guarantee, and Chazid have a katziv, and the seller realized that the buyer was depressed and amaleis, so the seller Shimon said to Reuven, the buyer, Amayitzivis, why are you depressed? If a creditor of mine will come and take away the sudden from you, I will make sure that you don't have any loss, and I'll pay you back the value of the sudden that you bought from the idiots of my properties and from the best of my properties, and I'll not only make you whole on your purchase price, and if at that time the property actually went up in value and appreciated, then I'll even pay you for loss of that appreciation. And if my creditor takes your field away and he also takes the peers that are in the field at that time, then I'll also make you whole and I'll pay you back for those peers as well. Keep in mind that Rashi and Daf Yudalam Beis points out by the seller agreeing to actually make the buyer whole and pay for the shvachim peers, there is no problem with ribis because it's considered as if he's rebuying the property from Reuven, and we look at it as if the seller repurchased property from the original buyer and now gave that property to the lender that he owed money to. And Rashi explains that when the Gemara stated that Reuven purchases property from Shimon Shaloi Bachrayis, going to Parish Lahachi Behedi Bishtara, and it was actually explicit in the Shtar that he's buying it Shaloi Bachrayis, and there is no guarantee, the Imis Stoma, as if he would just buy it Stoma, and therefore it's as if there is a guarantee in the shtar. And our Gemara continues, and we continue on Daf Zamach Vav Manalev, that even though Shimon said to Reuven that if my creditor comes and takes the property, then I will make you whole and I'll pay you for the loss of your property. However, we look at it as if the seller is making the buyer comfortable and trying to get him happy that he's buying this property, Shaloi Bachrayis, and as Rashi says, in a little different tachumim ba'alma lefatim eslibay, and to make his heart fat and make him feel good. But ultimately, as we pointed out from Rashi at the bottom of the Daf Samach Hayom Beis, that the seller already wrote into the shtar that he's selling this property to the buyer Shaloi Bachrayis, and therefore he's certainly not guaranteeing the sale of the property to the buyer. And the Gemara continues, Omli Rav Ashi Lameimor, so Rav Ashi says Lameimor, time and my, as what is the reason that you're telling me that's between me and ba'amhu, as kivin lekeh boilas nuye, that really this type of a tnai should have been made by the buyer, and the buyer should have said to the seller that I'm not happy buying this sada Shaloi Bachrayis and without any guarantee, and therefore you should force the seller to give him a guarantee. But it must be in this case that the actual buyer didn't have that ability, and the seller wouldn't have sold the property with a guarantee, and the buyer wasn't ready to walk away from the property and not do this deal and not do this transaction, and therefore he understood that he's buying buying it subject to that lien, and he's not going to get any guarantee from the seller. And as the Gemara states, v'hachem meichel kamasti, and l'maisa the seller made the tnai, and he was only doing it in order to make the buyer feel better, and therefore amrit p'tumim mil ba'amhu, it must be that the seller was only saying this in order to make the buyer feel better, but he wasn't really being mekabel achrayus at all. And ayin tap tesis on daf samach vav v'na'av diba maskel p'tumim mil ba'amhu, that he says dafka hocha shekvar ondu al seif liknei shaloi b'achrayus v'yim etzdar lekech shaloi misiratza amichel amichel b'achrayus v'hu loy hoi reitzel aniach b'liknesa b'shvilkach u'lohochiyam p'tumim mil ba'almo. That over here we're talking about a scenario where they were already at the end of their negotiations, and they even ready to wrote a shtar, and as Rashi said, they wrote in the shtar they're selling it to Shaloi Bachrayas, and therefore, even though it's true that the seller made a comment and he said that he's going to sell it to Bachrayas and he will take responsibility for any creditor that comes and takes away the sada, but certainly he didn't mean it, and certainly the seller just wanted to make the buyer feel better. However, Taisa says, Alvin Betchilas Devarim Pasach Hamecha Knilucha Sadai Di Tarfilo Minach. However, at the beginning, while they started the negotiation, the seller would have said to the buyer, they should know that I feel bad for you, and you should know I have a creditor, and potentially will come and take away the sada from you, and I will guarantee it to you. Then, as Taisa says, lo yavin b'tumim immediately, then we don't look at it as if he's making the buyer feel better, el t'nai gomer, and it must be that he's actually making a real t'nai, and the seller's agreeing to take a chrayis, to guarantee the sale to the purchaser. And as Taisa says, ki bevadi le niskavin lechoy, el b'chrayis, k'moshe pasach le'amecha, and the buyer certainly didn't mean to buy this property unless he will receive a guarantee, just like the Meicher told him at the beginning of the negotiation. And keep in mind that certainly Taisa's Nafkamina will not be in our scenario that we mentioned from Rashi, where the seller actually wrote into the deed that this deed does not guarantee that he will take a chrayis. He clearly, in that case, sold it Shaloi b'achrayis, and he was definitely selling it subject to any liens. However, as Taisa says, v'nafkamina l'manda amah chrayis lav teisefu, and the Nafkamina will be, according to the manda amah, that chrayis lav teisefu. Therefore, if you have a shtar and you have a deed that doesn't mention if there was a guarantee or not, so then if you know if at the beginning of the negotiation the buyer told the seller that he would guarantee it, then certainly this deed includes a guarantee, even though they didn't write it into the deed, and there would also be nafkaminas v'negei other tnoim, as we will see later in our Gemara. And our Gemara continues, and based on the svara that Rav Ashi just mentioned to Amema, v'negei p'tumim mi l'ba'almuhu, so the Gemara states, el masnista diktani, the brisa that we had on dafsamachim beis, that stated that if the buyer says to the seller, l'chshiyul l'chamayis, then at some later point, when you have enough money to buy back your property, then achsel l'char, then I will return the property to you, then mutter, that it's mutter. And the Gemara points out, that in that case, really the seller should be the one to make the tnai, as it was benefiting him, as he wants to buy back the property. And meichel asti v'lekech kamasti, and l'maisa, in the case of the brisa, the seller was not the one that made the tnai, and instead the case is that the buyer said to the seller that you should know I'll sell the property back to you at a point that you have this money. And we explained that Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what is the difference between the case of the Reisha where the seller said to the buyer that I'm selling the property to you on condition that you will sell me back the property if I have money, and the Bryce has stated that is Asar, and the case of the Seifa where the buyer said to the seller that if at some point you do have money then I will sell you the property. But Rav, and Rav explains Seifa da Amalei Midaite, that Seif is talking about a case where the buyer said that I don't have to sell it back to you, but if I want to, I will sell it back to you, and you can't take me to the Beis Din, and that's why it's Muta. But time of the Amalei Midaite, and therefore it's Mukach, that the only reason that this is Muta is because the buyer wasn't forced to sell this back to the seller, Haloi Amalei Midaite. But if the buyer didn't actually say this, and didn't say that I will decide if I want to sell back the property to you, then it's Mashmur that the buyer is actually accepting upon himself that he will certainly sell back the property to the seller, and the seller would even be able to take the buyer to Beis Din to force him to sell the property back, and lo yamina p'tumim mi l'ba'almuhu. And l'chayr in this case, since the seller is the one that should have actually made this condition and told the buyer that if at some point I want to buy back the property, I will have the right to force you to sell it back to me, and l'maisa the buyer was the one who made this condition, so l'chayr we should say they were just saying this in order to make the seller feel good and to make the seller think that at some point he'll sell him back the property, but certainly he didn't mean it, and it was really the p'tumim mi l'ba'almuhu. Why don't we say the svara of the p'tumim mi l'ba'almuhu in this scenario? And Amalei, so I may respond back. factor of Ashi, really in all cases where the person that makes the Tanai is not actually a person that is benefiting from the Tanai, then we would generally say, and we would say that certainly that party did not mean what he said, and he was just doing it to make the other party feel good. And when Rav explained the case of the Braisa, the Omale Midaite, he doesn't actually mean that the buyer said that I will think about selling the property back to you, as even if the buyer would actually say that I will for sure sell the property back to you, the seller could still not force the buyer to sell the property back to him, as Nasa Kamanda Omale Midaite Itma, as in that scenario, the seller should have been the one that made the Tanai, and since the buyer was the one that made the Tanai, and he's not the one benefiting from the Tanai, so therefore we say that his words are the Ptume Minu Ba'amahu, and we look at it as if the buyer was telling the seller that you should know that if you come back to me and you try to buy back the property, then at that time I will think about it, but you won't be able to force me to actually do so. And even if he didn't say these words, it's considered as if he said it, and certainly the Svar of Ptume Minu Ba'amahu applies in this scenario as well. And the Gemara continues and discusses a case where Shchimra gave a get to his wife, and Shchimra may give a get to his wife in a scenario where they don't have children, and he didn't want his wife to fault his brother for Yibam, for example, because his brother was a cotton, or his brother wasn't around and wasn't in this area. And generally, such a Shchimra would write in the get that the only time the get is chal is in Macy if I die, and it would be clear that if he doesn't die, the get would not be chal. However, this Shchimra did not write this clause, and therefore the Gemara tells us how Shchimra the kassel the gittel of the bisu, that there was a Shchimra that wrote a get to his wife, and didn't specify that the get is only chal in Macy and in Gidbe Isnach, and when he was giving the get to his wife, he actually was sighing as he felt bad that he had to divorce her. Amulei, so his wife said to him, "Amai kamus nachas, why are you feeling so bad? Ikaimus didochano, that if you will actually live, I will actually be your wife. Get will not be chal." And Amravzvin, Amravzvin said, "Then this case, the get is chal, and she is considered megureshes, and she is no longer an eshesish as petum yimil ba'almu, as even though she said that the get will not be chal if he gets better, but ultimately she was only saying this in order to make him feel better, and therefore her words didn't have any meaning." And the Gemara continues, "Amli Rav Achi Medifti Ravina." So Rav Achi Medifti said to Ravina, "Vila petum yimil mai. What would happen if we wouldn't say the svara of petum yimil ba'almu, and we would say that the words actually have meaning?" And as Rashi says, "Va'afin omr be'emes," and even if she actually says that this is my actual condition and this is actually what I mean, with a kabbal shvur gemura, and she makes a shvur that she's not saying this l'ptumi milu ba'alma, and she actually means that she wants to be his wife and she wants to stay married to him if he doesn't die. But l'maisa, who cares that her words have meaning? That certainly it's not a woman's place to make any tzrayim in a get, and it's only in his power to write any tzrayim in a get. And as we know that a husband has to write a get to his wife, and he could force her to take a get bal kocha, and she has no ability to make any tzrayim in a get. And as Rashi says, and if the husband did not make a tnai at the time that he gave the get, then tnai shelo in a klum, then her tnai is meaningless. And even if she mentioned this tnai prior to giving to her, and this is not similar to the case of mamonis that we had previously, as in that case a person could be mishamed themselves with their dibor. And the Gemara continues that Ravina responds to Rav Achi Medifti, the Maor Tema who gufa adaita didoka gama v'yav gita. One could have thought that she could actually make this tnai, as then when the husband actually gives the get, then he's actually doing it based on her words, and since she said that the get should not be chal if you don't die, then that would be considered a tnai in the get. And kamashmo, and therefore as Zvit teaches us that her words are only the p'tumi milu ba'almu, and therefore as Tezis says, pirish dechinami adaita didoka, that even if the husband has das that he's giving to her based on whatever she said, still he can't be chayzer from the get. The gam hilo amral b'tumi midli, that she also only made this statement in order to make him feel better, but she didn't really mean that they would stay married if he doesn't die. And einachinami, if she would actually say that be'emes, this is what I mean, or she would actually make a shvua and say that I don't want to get to be chal if he doesn't die, then when her husband gives it to her, then he would give it al das har dibur, and since she made a factual tnai, then if the shchimra got better and he doesn't die, then the get would also not be chal. And let's go back to the previous tesis, dinu maskal patumi milu ba'amu, where at the end of tesis he states, that we're talking about a case where the Shchimra was gomim b'daitoi, and he actually set out that he will divorce her without any tnayim, and even if he doesn't die, the get should be chal. And she came to menachem him through her words. And once again, it's clear from Taisus that if she actually said this at the beginning and prior to him actually going and writing the get, and she said to him that you should know that if you don't die, then we will stay married. And l'chayr, in that case, if they wrote the get of the Shchimra Astama, and even if they didn't write the words in Macy, then l'chayr, the get would not be chal if the Shchimra actually doesn't die, since they already spoke about this b'tchilas hadvarim, and they didn't wait until after all the details were ironed out. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah on Daf Samach Yom Beis, and the second case of the Mishnah taught us, Hilvo Asadeo, if Reuven lends $100,000 to Shimon based on having a lien against his Sada, and Reuven says to Shimon, if you don't return the $100,000 to me within the next 3 years, then I will keep the Sada, which is valued at $200,000. Then the Mishnah teaches us, Hareu Shaloi, that Reuven had a right to do so, and therefore Reuven could keep this Sada. And this is what Baisa ben Zayin did when he wanted to lend money, and he did so al Pidei Chachamim. And ultimately, we will see that there will be two different ways to understand this case of the Mishnah, and one way will be that the case was where he lent the money, and he said that if you don't pay me back within 3 years, then I own the Sada from this moment, and therefore that's not a problem with Ribbis, as we look at it as if the $100,000 that Reuven gave to Shimon is actually his purchase price, and Reuven got a very good deal out of the Sada, and he bought it for $100,000 instead of $200,000, and we don't look at this as a loan at all, and we look at it as Mekach HaMemkar. And of course this pshat works out according to the Tzad of the Gemara, and Reuven said to Shimon that this field should be coined to be Me'achshav. However, the first explanation of the Gemara will be that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yisi, that Asmach the Kanya, and in Chinami, that Reuven will only be Koina once Shimon doesn't pay back the loan within 3 years, and L'chira, this should be a problem of Ribbis. And Taisus and Daf Samach Yom Beis in Divrei Masechta Loisim Machrim states that since the borrower had 3 years in order to pay back the loan, and within that 3 years, he had a choice either to pay back the loan, or he had a full 3 years to sell this property that's worth $200,000, and he would have had enough money to pay back the $100,000 of his loan, and he didn't do so. So it must be that he had other reasons why he wanted to give the $200,000 to the lender, and it's not based on ribbis. And as Taisa says, Hasam aloyva yochlum kamen asada la'acha keneged amilva velikach la'atzmi hamisa uchshemaniach lekula eino isa mishum ribbis el milse ba'amuhu da'avin shemach loy bechinam. And other rishonim explained that the reason why there is no problem of ribbis is because in this case there wasn't a percentage that applied for ribbis that was based on a month or every single year, and it was one lump sum payment that he would have to pay if he doesn't pay him back the full loan within 3 years. And immediately after 3 years, instead of the borrower paying $100,000 to the lender, the borrower gave his field to the lender that was worth $200,000, and we look at the extra $100,000 as a knas and as one lump sum payment, not as an interest payment, and that is not considered a problem of ribbis. They point out, because if he would have paid the chayiv even one moment before the 3 year period was up, then he wouldn't have had to add in any money, and right after 3 years passed, he had to give the entire sada, and therefore it is not considered ribbis, and it's only considered a knas, which is paying based on a late fee. The im bezeh is ribbis, and there's no problem of it's ribbis in this scenario. And Agamar begins and brings machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, and Rav Huna stated b'shas matan mois kona kol, that if they make this tnai at the time that Reuven gave the $100,000 loan to Shimon, then it would be a valid tnai, and therefore after 3 years, Reuven would own the sada. However, if Reuven made this tnai with Shimon after he already gave the loan to Shimon, then he won't be koina anything. And as Rashi says, im bedvar klum, as Taisus points out, that if he was histemoi kni l'gavayna, that you should be koined in order to collect from the sada, and you should at least be able to collect $100,000 from this property, then Koni Keneged Ma'asav, then the lender would at least have a right to collect $100,000 directly from this kaka. Fized, a way to understand the words of Rav Huna is La'achamata Mois, Loi Kono, that if the lender tried to make this tie with the borrower after he already gave him $100,000 loan, then after 3 years pass, the lender is not creating the soda at all. And Rav Huna continues, Ella, however, if the lender made a tnai with the borrower and he said that even if I can't acquire the whole soda, I still want a right to collect my $100,000 from the soda, then he will be kind of kineged ma'asav. However, Rav Nachman argues Rav Huna, and he held afil la'achamata mois kona kol, that no matter when the lender made this tnai with the borrower, the lender would be kind of soda after 3 years. And before we continue, let's point out that certainly the pshat in both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman is based on the din of asmachta kanya, as according to Rav Huna, at least b'shas matan mois, if the lender makes the tnai with the borrower, then he would be kind of soda after 3 years, even though the borrower could taina that I only did this based on the smach that I really thought I would pay off the loan, and I really didn't want to give you the full soda that's worth $200,000 for a $100,000 loan. And even so, we say that asmachta is kanya, and according to Rav Nachman, even lacha matan mois, we say that the lender is kaina, and we see that asmachta is kaina, both according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And Tais points out that although in other places in Shas we find that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman both hold that smachta is loikanya, however Zok Tesis umefarish ri tam shavu l'shneim the hacha koni tvei mi ba'alma, in our scenario there would be a kinin even though it's in a smachta, and even though in other places we would say a smachta loikana shebetchilas hamashkanta haviksas kein mekachum emka shemachta loikol hakaka l'shtabu loibetarius mashkin v'gam ois loitevil ba'alva. In our scenario, since this is done derech mekach memkar, and at some point the lender actually gave $100,000 to this borrower, therefore we show a seriousness of this transaction, and therefore over here both Rav Huna and Rav Nachman would agree that we would say that the lender would be koina, as hilka kashim tzratzaloi sheyehe shaloi im loyitin loy ad gimel shonim yesh bedaita l'kayim v'loy l'smichoy al dvar v'amakein al goyim bedaita l'haktitzloi l'Rav Huna kid islay l'Rav Nachman mekameh d'hodabe kid islay ayin shom. When Taisa says Rav Nachman mekameh d'hodabe kid islay, he's referring to the fact that in a moment we'll see Rav Nachman will actually be chayzer from the shita, and he will hold even if the lender made this tnai with the borrower b'shas matan mois, that the lender will not be able to keep the soda, as ultimately Rav Nachman will change his shita, and he will hold in all scenarios as smachtas loikanya. The Gemara continues over Rav Nachman uvda gabi reish galusa kashmaitzei, that a similar case happened by Rav Nachman when he was by the reish galusa, and as we know Rav Nachman was chasna to be reish galusa, and he was a son-in-law by the house of the reish galusa, and he paskin that since the lender made a tnai with the borrower that if you don't pay me within 3 years then I will keep this soda, so he allowed the lender to keep the soda. And the Gemara tells us Kar Rabbi Yehuda l'shtari, and then Rabbi Yehuda saw the shtar that Rabbi Nachman said was a valid shtar, and the lender had a right to the soda, and Rabbi Yehuda went and ripped up the shtar because Rabbi Yehuda felt that it's not a valid shtar. And Amalei Reish Galusa, and the Reish Galusa said to Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda Kar l'shtarcha, did you know that Rabbi Yehuda ripped up your shtaris and he's not showing you kavod? And Amalei Rabbi Nachman said back to the Reish Galusa, Da'adika Kari, do you think that a young child that doesn't know anything ripped up my shtar? Gav Rabba Kari, he was a great person and ripped up the shtar. Chazu Beitami V'Kari, it must be that he had a reason why he was chiluk on me, and that's why he ripped up the shtar. And Rashi Masechta Shabbos and Dafkum Memheim and Beis states Da'adika Bacha Shlo Yigia L'Svara. The Gemara continues Ikad Amri, and we have another version of the story that on later Rabbi Nachman responded back to the Reish Galusa, Da'adika Kari, that anyone that ripped up my shtar is like a young child that doesn't understand what they were doing. And he explained that Kuli Alma Lagabi Didi Bedina Da'adikinenu, that anyone compared to me when it comes to anything regarding a din is considered like a young child that doesn't understand any svaris. Rav Nachman felt that he was 100% correct, and the shtar was a valid shtar, and the lender should keep the soda. And the Gemara continues Hadam Rav Nachman, but eventually Rav Nachman came around and he said Afil b'shas matan mois loy konav loy klum, that even if the lender made this tnai with the borrower at the time that he gave him the $100,000, that is not considered a valid tnai, and he would not have right to take the $200,000 soda after 3 years. The reason why Rav Nachman was chayza is because at this point Rav Nachman held that asmachtas loy kanya. And the Gemara continues Esvi Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav asked the question of Nachman from our Mishnah, as in our Mishnah we say that miyata nicely mikan bat shal shanma reishli hareyu shaloi, and therefore we see that this type of tnai can work. Mishlim, according to Rav Huna, we can explain our Mishnah that we're talking about a case where the lender made this tnai with the borrower at the time of Matan Mois, and therefore he was kinda. However, according to Rav Nachman, that said that afilu b'shas Matan Mois loy kanav loy klum. So l'chari, how could the Mishnah state that the lender will be able to keep this sada if l'chari smachtas loy kanya? And the Gemara states on Malays, Rav Nachman responded to Rava, ani ima smachta kanya. I originally stated that smachta is kanya, and therefore I didn't have any problem with our Mishnah. However, minyumi ama smachta loy kanya. Minyumi actually convinced me that he is correct that smachta is loy kanya, and therefore your question is really not on me, but your question is on minyumi, as he is the one that convinced me that I should hold that smachta is loy kanya. But the Gemara is minyumi kashim asisin, and according to minyumi that holds a smachta loy kanya, then certainly it's a question from our Mishnah, and the Gemara gives two terutim as ibayis im masis Rabbi Yisihi da amas smachta kanya, that either we could say that our Mishnah is going only according to the shita Rabbi Yisihi that holds a smachta as kanya. That's why if a lender makes a tnai with the borrower either b'shas matan mois or potentially even shloi b'shas matan mois, and he says that if you don't pay me within 3 years, then I will keep the sada, then it would be a valid transaction, and the lender could keep the sada after 3 years. In the Chanami, where Nachman stated that afilu b'shas matan mois, that's because Reb Nachman holds like Reb Yehuda that smacht loy kanya even in our scenario, and in the Chanami Reb Nachman doesn't hold like our Mishnah. And we continue on Daf Samach Vav Beis, and Ibayis Emo, or I could tell you that in the Chanami Reb Nachman agrees with our Mishnah, but Reb Nachman was talking about in a standard case, and that case in the Chanami is smacht loy kanya, and therefore even if the lender went over to the borrower and made this tnai b'shas matan mois, he would not be able to be kinyo the sada. However, the Omalei Kanim Akshav, the Mishnah is talking about a specific case where the borrower said to the lender that if I don't pay back this chayiv within 3 years, then I'm granting you the right to the sada from this moment. And Me Akshav, and as Rashi says, the lava smachti, and therefore it is not a smachta, el kinyan gomri, they made it a kinyan gomor at that moment. Shalmanas mecha gomor, hichsaba me akshav bedoma alalu. At the moment that the lender gave $100,000 to the borrower, they actually finalized this transaction, and the seller or the borrower gave it to him at a great price. And as Rashi says, Vezuli oizel gabei, vezek kibul lov, and the lender was mekabel himself, shim yachsela ima isav at shol shon miyukablem, that if the borrower gives him back the money within 3 years, then he'll be mekabel it and give the seller back. And Rashi is bothered that l'chir in this case, since the lender is giving the money at this moment, and he's going to own the seller at this moment, so l'chir, the lender should be able to eat the peiris. And zok Rashi, v'apiris Rabbi Yehuda lekeich, that in Chanami, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the buyer or the lender in this case will be able to eat the peiris from this moment. And as we explained, Rabbi Yehuda hold that Tzad Echad Ribbis is Muta, and according to Rabbanan that holds Tzad Echad Ribbis is going to be Asa, Mishal Shemay son, then certainly you have to give the peiris to a third party. Certainly the borrower or the seller doesn't have right to the peiris because he already sold the field to the buyer and to the lender, and the buyer and the lender doesn't have a right to the peiris either, because potentially he will be paid off of this loan, and therefore, if he eats the peiris, he'll be Ivan Ribis. And the Gemara continues, Omalei Mayinuku Makashisha Beneder of Chistel Ravashi, that the children of Chistel, whose names were Mayinuku and Makashisha, said to Ravashi, and Rashi Mesechtet Subis explains that Rav Chistel had two children that had the same name, and they called the younger one Mayinuku because he was the younger one, and the older son they called Makashisha because he was older. However, Taisus in Mesechtet Babasa and Daf Zayin Rabbeis explains exactly the opposite, and he said that the older one was called Mayinuka because he was born to Rav Chista when Rav Chista was younger, and the younger one they called Makashisha because he was born to Rav Chista when Rav Chista was older. And they told Rav Ashi, Hachi Amri Nadai Mishmed Rav Nachman, that this was said in the Yeshiva Nadai in the name of Rav Nachman. And as Rashi Masechta Bav Basra and Daf Zayin states, that when the Gemara says Hachi Amri Nadai, it's generally referring to Rav Chama and to Shmuel, and they said that Rav Nachman holds and as Rashi states, and for example, in the case that we were just speaking about, where the lender said to the borrower that if you don't pay me back within 3 years, then I will keep this sada, Rav Nachman taught us that once his man preparing comes and he didn't pay, then the lender is claiming the sada. However, it's prior to that point in time, then the lender would not be claiming the sada. And of course, at this point of the Gemara feels that we're going on the dinner of Reb Nachman prior to him being Chayza, and at the point Reb Nachman held that a smacht is Kanya. The Gemara continues, so Amaluhu, so Reb Ashi said back to Mayinuka and Makashisha, Komidi Bizmani Kone, Blazim Ne Loikone, that any time that someone makes a Kinyan, it's only going to be Kleiner from the point that you have the right to that item, and prior to that, you're not going to be Kleiner, and therefore, certainly, there's no Chiddush, and Reb Nachman is telling us that if a smacht is Kanya, then the lender only acquires the sada once the borrower doesn't pay off the loan, and once it's already after 3 years, and prior to that he's not going to be koina, and therefore that can't be pshat in what the Nadoyans told you with the name of Rav Nachman. And therefore Rav Ashi explained, Dilma Hochi Kamrisu, that maybe this is what you meant to say over in the name of Rav Nachman, that Ashkei Begoy Zimnei Va'amalei Kani, that Kani, however Basa Zimnei Va'amalei Kani, Loi Kani, that really this dinner of Rav Nachman is after Rav Nachman was already Chayza, and he held a smacht leikonya, and therefore he held a filo b'shas smacht mois leikonya v'leiklum, and this transaction really would not work. However, Reb Nachman teaches us that if at a later point the lender goes and finds the borrower at a time that's prior to him having to pay off the loan, and the borrower didn't really have to pay off the loan at that point, and even so he said to the lender that I want you to be koina the sada, then the lender will be koina. And as Rashi says, the gomer va'akni the loy, as if not lo milei lo meimalei, why would he tell him to go and be koinit, if the lender didn't have the right at this point to collect from him in any case, and therefore he shouldn't have said anything to him. However, if it already reached the time that the lender was already owed the money, and the borrower says to the lender, you should be koinit the sada that you asked me for, since it's already after 3 years, then in that case, we still would say, and really the borrower doesn't want to give this feel to the lender, and my time, and why is it that he's not going to be koinit, is machmas kesufu to kamalei, as the only reason why the borrower said to him that he should be going to be koina is because he was embarrassed they didn't pay off the chayv yet. But ultimately, the borrower didn't want to give the sada to the lender, and therefore he would not be koina. And the Gemara continues, v'lohi, but it is not the right psak, that filo begoy zimnei, as even if the lender would find the borrower prior to the time that the loan was due, and he said to him that he should be koina, nami loy koni, that the lender would not be koina to the land, as v'hai de kamale koni, and even though the borrower told him to be koina, and at that point he didn't really have to say anything, as the borrower felt in this way, once the loan would be due, that the lender won't come and bother him, because the lender will feel that he already got the sada, and therefore he won't come and bother him at all. And then at some point, when the borrower has enough money to pay off the lender, he'll go and pay him off, and if the lender will say, I already own the sada, then he'll take him to Bezdin, and he'll show him that I smacht lekanya, and therefore you will never claim the sada, and I have a right to take back my sada. And the Gemara continues, Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, there are times that a smachta will be koina, and there are times that a smachta will not be kanya. As ashkei the kashasi shichra, as if on the date that the loan is due, the lender finds the borrower that he's drinking beer in a bar, then it shows that the borrower gave up on paying off the loan, and the borrower will understand that he's going to give the sada to the lender, and therefore he doesn't care, and that's why he's drinking and he's very calm. However, if on the day that the loan is due, you find that the borrower is kamahapich azuzi, that he's going and searching for money, and he's trying to find ways to get money in order to go and pay off the loan, then like honey, then we see that he really doesn't want to give the sada to the lender, and therefore the lender will not be koina, and a smachta will not be kanya. And as Rashi explains, the shasi shrichra, that if you find the borrower he's drinking beer bechanos in a bar, ain't the otziv lachsa achapidya in sadeo, so we see this person is not depressed, and he's not running after money in order to be paid to the sada, v'dait l'shaka, and we see that he's willing to give up the sada. However, the Gemara now says, and he argues with Rav Papa, and he says, then maybe the reason why he was drinking in a bar is not because he gave up on his sada, but actually the opposite is true, that really he wants his sada so badly, and he's so depressed that he went to bar to drink away his sorrow. And as Rashi says, and Rav Achman Medifti also said, inami in a shachrina asbechi azuzi, or it's because he actually already arranged to get the money from someone else, and that person promised to bring him the money, and that's why he was sitting down in the bar, as he wasn't nervous, but ultimately that person didn't come through with the money, and really the borrower wants his sada, and asmacht is loikanya, and the lender will not be able to keep the sada. And the Gemara continues, Elam Ravina, and therefore Ravina said back to Rav Achman Medifti, that I will show you another differential, and a way that we could see if he actually gave up the sada to the lender or not, as he kapev bedame vade kone. If on the same day that he's about to lose his sada, he's going and trying to sell merchandise and he's makbid to get the full price and he won't lower his price at all, then we see that he doesn't care about his sada. As if he would care about the sada, he would sell his assets in order to buy back the sada. And therefore, it must be that he didn't care if the sada would be taken away from him. And the Gemara continues that Amalei Rav Achmed Difter Ravino, once again, Rav Achmed Difter Yes Ravino, Dilma Sava, Ki Hechid Leitizel Ari, maybe he felt that if he would go and start selling things on a fire sale and selling all of his possessions at a lower price, then people will take advantage of him and they will actually pay him a very low price. And therefore, he didn't want to run on the bank. And that's why he wasn't lowering his price. But in a chinami, he really didn't want the sada to be taken away by the lender. And really, a smachta would be like Kanye in that case as well. And finally, the Gemara says, Elam Rapapa, and therefore Rapapa finally comes back and says, Ikapa ba'ara vade kani, that if on the day that he owes this money, he's still makbid, he won't sell any other of his properties for a low price, or even for the going market rate and market value of that sada, then we see that he doesn't really care if the sada that he promised to give to the lender will be taken away. In this case, we see that he was actually gomo makbid, and he wanted to give the sada to the lender, and the lender will therefore be koinu the sada. And we explain this sugya based on the pshat of Rashi. However, I intasted Diba Maskali Kabba Bidami Kani, where he asked numerous questions of Rashi, and therefore he explains all these scenarios a bit different than Rashi, Ayin Shum. And the Gemara continues, Va'umra Papa and Rapapa states, Avagav the Umra Bona Smacht Lekanya, that even though we said in a case where the lender says to the borrower that I want your sada, and if you don't pay me back within 3 years, then I will keep your sada. And we said that even if the borrower agreed to this, that a smacht is like kanya, and the lender has no right to keep the sada. However, but the lender has a right to go and collect at least the amount of the loan from the sada. And for example, if Reuven lent Shimon $100,000 and he wanted to keep the entire sada that was worth $200,000, so in a chanami, he won't be able to take the entire sada because the sada is worth $200,000, but he will have a full lien on the sada, $400,000. Even if Shimon would come to Reuven with cash and with other metalton or other assets worth $100,000, Reuven could say to Shimon that I have an apoytiki on the sada and I have a right to collect $100,000 value of the sada and I don't have to take your cash or other assets. And the Gemara continues, Omni Rav Huna Breder Rav Nosson Rav Papa. So Rav Huna Breder Rav Nosson said to Rav Papa, Mi Kamalei Kuni L'Guvayna. Did Shimon say they should be cleaning the sada, they should be able to collect from the sada and you should have a right of collection and an apoytiki from the sada itself? But L'maisa, he never said that. And all that Shimon agreed with Reuven was if he doesn't pay him back within 3 years, then Reuven could keep the entire sada. And of course, that clause didn't work because we hold a smacht lekanya. And the Gemara continues that Amalei Mazutra Beid Rav Mari Ravina. So Mazutra Beid Rav Mari said to Ravina that it's mashma from the question of Huda Beid Rav Nosson that if the bar would have actually said to the lender that if I don't pay you within 3 years, then you should be cleaned as sada and you should be able to collect $100,000 from the sada, that the lender would actually be able to collect $100,000 from the sada. Well, the chur here is that doesn't make sense either, as the Amma Kani Lemigmimne Kani, do you think that if he would have said that clause that he would actually be cleaner? So if Saif Asmachti Lemaisa, that entire clause is still not smachta, as the borrower could say to the lender that I really thought that I would pay you back and therefore you wouldn't be able to collect from this sada at all. And why should it be that the lender has a right to go and collect $100,000 from this specific sada and consider this sada as an apaitiki Basmacht Lekanya if we pass in Asmacht Lekanya? And the Gemara therefore says, to come Rapapa Mahi, and what case was Rapapa talking about that this sada becomes an apaitiki to the lender? Da Malay Lohi Lechaprayin Elamizu, where the lender made two conditions with the borrower, and he told him, number one, that even if you come to me within the next 3 years and you want to pay me back, you can't pay me back with cash or any other assets, and you have to pay me back from the sada, and you have to pay me back $100,000 of value from the sada, and if you don't pay me back within the next 3 years, then I will keep the entire sada and I'll keep $200,000. So although the second clause doesn't work because of smachta lekanya, but lemaisa they made a condition which was not based on a smachta and it was just a kinyan ba'alma, and therefore if the borrower wants to pay back the lender, he has to pay him back from the sada and it's considered not paitiki. And the Gemara continues, Hu gavra dezavonli ara lechavre b'achrayis, that if Shimon sold a field to Reuven with the guarantee and he told Reuven that if any of my debtors come and take away the sada, then I'll give you back the value of the the Sada, and generally when the seller would have to pay for his guarantee, he would have to pay using Bainis. However, Amalei, Reuven said to Shimon, Itarfu le minoi, that if your creditors come and they collect the Sada for me, Magbis lumi idi idis, the Islach, that I want to collect from the best of your fields that you have, and not only not from Bainis and not from idis, I want to get from the idi idis that you have. And Amalei and the seller said to the buyer, Meidi idis le magbina lecha de bein lemek kamoi, that I want to keep the best of my properties and I want to keep the idis of my properties. El magbina lecha meidis achirim de isli, but I do agree that I won't pay you Bainis and I'll give you from my idis. And the Gemara tells us, L'soif tafu minei, and the end result was the Bali Chayv of Shimon came and collected the property from Reuven, and now Reuven came back to Shimon and wants to collect on his guarantee. But also Bitka Shokol Idiidis, it was a flood that came and wiped out the Soda of Shimon that was the Idiidis, and that wasn't around any longer in order for Reuven to get back his money from. And Savra Papa Lamema, so a Papa thought to say, Me Idiis Amalei, Velkaima, Lemaisa Shimon told Reuven that I'll pay you for my Idiis, and even though his Idiidis is not here, but the Idiis is here, and therefore Shimon should have to pay Reuven from his Idiis, and Shimon should not be able to pay Reuven from his Bainis. And Amalei Rav Achim Medifta Ravina, however, Rav Achim Medifta said to Ravina, Velei Malei, that let Shimon, the seller, say to the buyer Reuven, that Ki Amri Loch Ano, Magbina Loch, that when I told you that I'm going to allow you to collect from my Idiis, to have an Idiis Kaima, since I even had better land, and therefore I was happy that at least you would collect from my Idiis and not from my best land, but Hashtar Kaimalei Idiis, B'mokim Idiis, now that my Idiis was ruined and it's no longer available to give to you, then my best Sada is Idiis, and I don't want to give you my Idiis, and I want to only give you Bainis. And Rav Achim Medifti hold that this would be a good Svara, as ultimately the seller really only meant to tell the buyer that I never want to give you my best property, and I always want to give you something that's lower than my best property. But keep in mind that the Rishonim explained that let's say the seller's best property would be Bainis, he can't tell the buyer that my best property is Bainis, and I told you that I'm not going to give you my best property, and therefore I want to give you Zubairis. And certainly when a seller is taking care of his guarantee, he has to give him at least from Bainis, and he can't give him from anything less than Bainis. And the Gemara continues, Rab Bashva, have a massive bay Rav Kana Zuzi, Rab Bashva owed money to Rav Kana, Amalei, so Rab Bashva said to Rav Kana, Eloi Puranachal Luyayim Pleni, Govim HaChamra, that if I don't pay you by a specific date, then you'll be able to collect from certain barrels of wine, and they set a price for each barrel of wine based on the current market value of wine at that time of year. And for example, Rav Bashva owed $1,000 to Rav Kana, and each barrel of wine at that time was worth $100, and therefore he said to Rav Kana, I'm going to give you 10 barrels of wine worth $100, which would be $1,000. And Lemaisu, Rav Bashva didn't pay Rav Kana back, and Rav Kana now came to take the 10 barrels of wine, but at this time Rav Kana came to take the barrels of wine, each barrel of wine was worth $200, and therefore Rav Kana wanted to collect $2,000 in wine from Rav Bashva, and Rav Bashva wanted to be chayza and only wanted to give Rav Papa 5 barrels of wine, which was each worth $200, which would be $1,000. And he went to ask the Shaila, and so for Rav Papa Lameimah, so Rav Papa thought to say, Ki Amrina Smach Delekanya, that when did we say the Svar of a Smach Delekanya, Hani Mili Ba'ara, that's only by land, the Ladlis Vunikaima, because generally people don't sell land, and therefore a person certainly didn't want to give away this property, Havel Chamro, Kivitlis Vunikai, Kizuzi Dami. However, regarding wine, since it's normal for people to go and sell wine and transact business and buy and sell wine, therefore it should be considered similar to money. And therefore, since Rav Bashva already agreed to give Rav Kana 10 barrels of wine, so Lachari should have to give him 10 barrels of wine, and he shouldn't be able to renege on that promise. And Amalei Rav Huna Breda Rav Yishua Rav Papa, however, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yishua said to Rav Papa, Hachi Aminu Mishmei Rabba, that this is what we learned in the name of Rabba, called the E like Kani. Any time someone says a Lashem the E, then you're not going to be Kino because I smacked the Leikani. And over here, Rav Bashva said to Rav Kana that if I don't pay you within a specific amount of time, then you'll be able to keep these barrels of wine, and therefore it was a regular case of a smachta, and a smachta is not koino, and therefore Rav Bashva would not have to give the full 10 barrels of wine to Rav Kana, and he could renege on that original agreement, and we will stop over here.